Welcome to another episode of Small School Big Tech. This is a special episode, SETPA on the road.
Or on the road to SETPA.
On the road to SETPA, yeah, there you go.
Kind of like the Yellow Brick Road, but I'm driving.
We are right next to a cotton field in the middle of the Central Valley of California right now.
And that sign says we should vote for Mike Berryhill.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Oh, well. On the road to Monterey, California, and this is going to be lots of cuts, maybe, because we're just going to be talking.
Oh, I don't want to do audio editing, audio engineering. How about we just post this raw and just let it all hang out?
If you like it, keep it. If you don't, trash it.
You have a fast-forward button on your player, or at least you should.
So this is another experiment in podcasting for us. That seems to be our theme.
Yeah, we should have actually just done the experimental podcasting podcast. We seem to try a different mic every show. We're almost doing it from a different location every time.
Different computers, Linux, Windows,
Mac,
Audacity, GarageBand.
I want to try just straight sound recorder next.
I guess what we should probably do is when we do a track, we should probably list what we used from now on.
And maybe go back and update the show notes.
And update the show notes if we can remember how we did it.
That's true.
We've tried lots of different setups, so maybe you won't have to.
Should kind of explain what we have going right now.
So we are in the car with a MacBook Pro on my lap, and we have two regular Plantronics headsets with mics, which, no, we do not have the headphones on, so we are not endangering anyone's safety. But we do have the mics available. And then they go into a little USB dongle that Plantronics provided with their headsets that turn the analog in and out for the mic and headset.
It's basically like having two USB sound cards. And that's basically what they are. They're two USB sound cards, and they're plugged into the Mac, and they just barely fit in the two USB ports.
Yeah, because they're a little bit large. They're a little bit wide, and I kind of had to shove them in. And this is a brand new MacBook. I installed some programs yesterday, but I haven't even got a chance to use that. So this MacBook maybe has an hour on it right now. It is a replacement MacBook, completely brand new from Apple through AppleCare.
Yes, and why is that, Danny?
Because I had a DOA MacBook. It lasted for about a week, and it red screened, which, talking to a lot of Mac people, they've never heard of that before.
I think you just coined a new phrase, though, the red screen of death.
And then I had it white screen on me, and everybody was teasing me, when is it going to blue screen so I get the red, white, and blue going? but it never blue screened, and then it finally could not find the hard drive. Called AppleCare. They asked me to do a use the OS disk to do a use disk utilities to try to repair the disk. Couldn't even find the disk or the hard drive. So it was done. And because it was under 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they
within 30 days of purchase,
they went ahead and sent me a brand new one back, and I sent the other one back. And I received this back, I would say, in about... I sent my other MacBook back last week, and I just received it this Monday. So it's been about a week, maybe a little bit under.
And it may have actually been sitting there Friday, but I don't know that anybody looked.
Yeah.
So I saw it yesterday as I was leaving and brought it in. But that's pretty good service. And I have always had excellent service with Apple. Especially as a school dealing with them. When I worked for Planada for a few months, and they were an all Apple school, they had laptop carts in one of the classrooms. That was basically, it was a computer lab, but they were using laptops. And not to say that it was an Apple issue, but we were probably sending one of those back every couple weeks. And they were always great. You call them up, you give them the serial number, you explain what the problem was. They'd send you a box, you'd ship it out, you'd get it back in a couple days, you know, so it was a really painless process.
And I have to say, dealing with AppleCare on the phone was it wasn't enjoyable because I never want to like calling phone help, but it was pleasant. How's that?
Well, the guy was helpful, right?
The guy was helpful. Both the lady and the gentleman that I talked to both days were really nice. And
did you ask for a return, or did they mention that as an option?
They actually offered it because I went through the process of checking everything, and then they just, as they were getting ready to for me to ship it in
under
and
warranty.
Get my information under warranty, they noticed how long I've had the machine, and they offered to send me a replacement if I wanted it. And of course, I took the replacement instead of taking a repair.
Awesome.
So that was cool.
Except you forgot to pull the asset tag off the one you sent back.
Well, would have never. Well, maybe we have a LeGrand machine headed out there somewhere.
Floating around, yeah. So if you end up with a LeGrand asset tag on it, give us a call. Let us know.
We'll get it back that way. Just kidding. It'd be kind of cool. It's like, remember, I don't know if you ever did this when you were a kid. You had to read so many books, and every book you read, you got a balloon. And then we tied our school address and our name to the balloon, and then we got to let them go. It was a big thing. And then if anybody found them, they got to return them, send us a letter.
What socialist state did you go to school in?
It was kind of fun because you never knew if somebody was going to send you something back.
That sounds cool.
It would never work now because everybody's afraid of kids' names getting out there. So
that's true. And reading. Everybody's afraid of reading.
Would that be a SIPA?
Wait, I should take this turn right now, right?
Yeah, don't forget to go to Los Banos.
Los Banos.
On the road to Los Banos.
You know how many times I have missed this turn into Merced coming back from Monterey?
That would take you back to LeGrand, yeah.
Yes.
And that's a long road.
Yeah, and then come all the way around and make the loop. So when we come back tonight and it's late, remind me to
forget.
Make the turn.
Yes, we are headed to Los Banos, which those of you who speak Spanish is technically the bathroom. It's the road to the Bay Area.
Right. Highway 152. Actually, we're going to go through, Hollister and then...
Hollister and... Anybody familiar with California, Casa de Fruta, where they...
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
The fancy teacups, yeah.
You know they have Casa de Chocolate, too?
They have Casa de everything.
That's true.
They have Casa de Gas Station.
That's the halfway point.
That
I would stop there.
That is a little tour of California for you.
Should get the Huell Hauser on.
Yeah. That's, what's that?
Oh, sorry. I'm making all these California references. What can I say? Born and bred. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it.
Yeah. He is a show host. Not
PBS.
Podcasting.
PBS show.
Yeah. So, where do we leave off? We were talking about...
I don't know. I still think we should probably do our presentations, but whatever. Well, we're doing what? Exchange the Google. We've never done that one before. I'm not too concerned because I'm just going to talk about what we did, basically.
And then we talk about Google Apps and Google
I don't know where you're going to come in. Yeah, so we'll just go back and forth. I'm going to blame you for it.
And then we have Small School Big Tech 2.0.
Which we've never done. I mean, it's just an updated version, but we haven't really done that one before.
Kind of where we're at.
So we're kind of breaking the rule of practice your presentation before you give it?
That's okay. So
the times that we have our sessions, we're probably going to get like 5 people.
We are scheduled at what time? 2 o'clock?
We're right after lunch. There's actually a lot of good sessions up against us, or not up against us, but at the same time. And then our Small School Big Tech session is like 4:15 or 4 to 5:15. Yeah, 4 to 5:15. So, and then I think the president's reception for SEPA is at like 5:30. So I'm just, it'll be curious to see how many people show up.
I'm watching our levels, and we're on a noisy road right now, and every time we hit a bump, our levels are bouncing with the bump. So,
cool.
You guys have some driving.
Noise.
You can put it in your car. You can listen to this podcast in your car, and you won't notice a thing. I promise.
Well, there you go. Melinda's comment about our microphones or our last episode sounding so good. This will be in direct contrast.
This will be good episode, bad episode. And I would have to say, I guess we're a little bit hypersensitive to our audio compared to maybe a casual listener.
I guess. I don't know.
I thought we sounded really clean.
Mm-hmm.
but we had, it was almost sterile. And I think that has to do with the fact that our podcasting room is pretty empty right now that we were in. And we have a lot of echo in there.
Yeah, not a lot of warmth. So we got to spend all that money on that expensive foam.
There you go. That we don't have the warmth in the voice. We had it was kind of like
the robot episode.
Industrial more. So hopefully when we get that room up, it'll be really good. We'll see. And we are going to try to do actually two episodes today back to back.
Yeah, I think I'll be too tired to do one coming back, but
Well, not on the road.
We're going to try to do another one when we get to the
SETPA, unless we've talked about everything already and then we can't decide what to talk about.
Well, we haven't talked about anything yet, so I think we're good.
Well, we talked about AppleCare.
Oh, that's right.
MacBooks.
I
we just
about
talked
that.
About the Yeti mic. Hey, come on. So
we've talked car tech.
Car tech. Yeah, that
No, that's work. Another podcast.
Okay.
I was never into cars.
Yeah, there might be some lots of edits in this one. We can just... The nice thing, it'll
just
be just...
I'm just going to roll it, dude.
It'll be just a big chunk. You just take the whole thing out.
No, I'm just going to put it all up there. It's all going... This is going to be like a four-hour episode.
two and a half hour drive. So let's see. Usually our podcast is about a 50 meg download. So this will be a...
I'm aiming for 150.
150 gig or 150 meg download. There you go.
Yep.
Let's just go for the full gig.
Full gig.
So,
Hey, on our bandwidth, that would only take a minute.
We tentatively, I think is the word that we want to use, have been invited to Macworld.
I wish I was invited to MacBook. Tentatively, I don't know. We'll have to talk to Mr. Carrippo and see if we're on the docket. But it is a good thing to talk about. I guess John Carrippo and Q have made a deal with Macworld where... if you use their code, and it's q.org/Macworld, it's only $105, which is a smoking deal. If you've never been to a Macworld, and even if you're not a Mac fan, I think it's something interesting to check out. But definitely, if you're a Mac fan, it's the place to go. I have been to one when I was working private sector and got to go to all that stuff.
And even if you're not a Mac fan and you're a teacher using Macs in the classroom...
Or if you're just interested in maybe doing some new stuff, especially the Q stuff. Okay, so that's a dog in the middle of the highway.
Oh, there he goes.
All right.
Okay.
So if you're interested in doing like multimedia stuff and just looking at new ways to do instruction for your class,
great,
I think
great tools. Yes.
Yeah, Q's going to have a really awesome booth with some really great educators there. I think most of them are GCTs, which...
Ken Shelton, Diane Main,
yeah.
Will Kimbley, no?
I think I saw Will say yes.
Jim Sill, Rushton.
Mike Niehoff, John Carrippo.
There's all kinds of big names if you follow EdTech. Okay, so we are back from our break. We actually... We ate breakfast in Las Banas, or I ate breakfast in Las Banas, and then... We went ahead and went to Casa de Fruta, made our stop, and now we're on the road to Monterey. And
we're on Highway 156, doing 30 miles an hour on a 55. Thank you very much, Big Charles.
Well, country road, you know.
It is a country road.
We were talking about home audio and hooking up some equipment, and reminded me of a tweet. I retweeted something last night. Actually, no, I retweeted it. It was from Lifehacker, and I don't have internet connection right now except for my iPhone. I don't feel like pulling it out. But it was basically...
Yeah, please don't pull it out.
...an app that would grab all your tracks from iTunes from multiple computers, put them onto a NAS box, a free NAS box, and then... allow you to grab that from like a Sonos or anything that would grab from a UPnP, is that how you say it?
UPnP.
Device.
Universal plug and play.
And it would automatically do, anytime you update on your iTunes box on your computer, it would automatically sync with your FreeNAS, even playlists and everything else like that, which I thought was really cool for my house. But then I started thinking about, we've been talking about getting iTunes at the school, and using iTunes as a solution for our media on campus.
Yep.
Well, this could be a way to do that. We have a free NAS box.
We have many free NAS boxes.
We have many free NAS boxes, but we could...
In fact,
read Andrew's article on FreeNAS. He wrote a big blog post about it.
Yes.
So check that out. Maybe we'll talk about that in a minute. But we could install iTunes, or if we had a small box or some kind of device.
So we just have to run iTunes one place?
One place.
Well, I like that.
So we would have an admin iTunes account.
Right.
It would sync to the FreeNAS box using the software, and then... It would...
So does this run on the FreeNAS box at all, or is it just an app that runs on the box?
I didn't get a chance to dig into it. It was late last night when I looked at it.
I'd be curious to know if...
But it'll run like Wii's or Xbox 360, anything that'll go and grab media from a media server,
Pointing... Is it just a pointer to the FreeNAS storage? I definitely want to take a look at that.
And so...
I might use it at home.
If we find out more, we'll have to check it out. But that could be a solution for our media storage, because we've ordered DirecTV about a year ago, if not longer, for the school.
When Danny means ordered, if you are a school, you can get DirecTV for free.
You just have to fill out some forms.
It's called DirecTV for Schools, and they will send you 4 free receivers and a dish.
And when we did it, high definition was
not available
for schools. But luckily, we never installed it, and we never synced or hooked up our account, so they took us off. And so when we renewed, they sent us all the HD stuff for free.
Somehow we got HD. Now, if you are a current school and you have SD equipment, you can call up. There is a number, because I did call. And they are working on a transition scheme for you. So if you want to go HD with your direct for Schools, DirecTV, call up their number and request HD equipment and an HD dish. And I think they're hooking schools up. So that's pretty exciting. I hope to have our DirecTV up for school here pretty soon. And, one of the things that we want to do is we're going to get an HD DVR with that, but that's kind of limited. So I think we're going to set up probably a Beyond TV box.
So, we're trying to decide if we were going to go with Xbox, or not Xbox, but a Linux solution or a free solution. But I'm running Beyond TV at home, and I use it as a DVR to record my TV shows, but what's nice is it's not proprietary. It saves it as an MPEG format, MPEG 4, I believe.
Well, it'll transcode too.
It's MPEG 2, I'm sorry. And then you can. Okay, so.
Recording again, I think we just hit another bump and our hard drive skipped.
So I was saying Beyond TV records to MPEG 2, then it'll transcode automatically. You can set it to either DivX. Or it'll go to MP4, which is iTunes compatible. And Andrew was saying that he likes...
I like that if we use Beyond TV, you know how to use it. So it's not like something I'm going to have to administer by myself. Like if we... And the other thing is, because I've run Myth TV at home. I've run GB PVR, both free solutions. One's open source, one's not. However, there's some issues now with the media... or the scheduling software. They used to have schedules you could download for free, and now you have to pay when you use those services.
And because Beyond TV is a paid service,
it's
not a paid service, you buy the software, which I believe is about $100.
Yeah, and then it comes with the schedule, the TV schedule, so you don't have to worry about that.
And so that's nice.
We could use Media Center, and I actually use Media Center at home. However, it records to a proprietary...
format?
Well, not proprietary. It's still MPEG 2 or 4. I think it's MPEG 2. But it puts it in a DRM wrapper, so it's really hard to share that out. There are some tools that'll let you transcode that out DRM-free, but it's just a hassle.
See, in Beyond TV, they have server solutions, which you can go buy for large and...
Expensive.
But they're trying to sell it as a search solution. So now you...
Discovery... Streaming, but you make the recording.
Actually,
yourself.
No, it's kind of like you set it up where it's recording like 7 different channels, and you search for a word, and it's actually going into the transcription of the show, and it's looking for those words.
Ooh, that's even better. I wonder if Google TV is going to do that.
That would be awesome if it does. That would put media or Beyond Media kind of...
As a GCT, I would think you would have pre-ordered your Logitech review already.
A bad internet service at home. Remember,
well, that's right. You can't even do Google TV.
So, well, I could because it works with your existing equipment, but it works with Dish, and I hate Dish.
I like Dish.
I'm a DirecTV guy, so I'm strike two on that. So
they might take your GCT away, though.
Yeah. Oh well.
You can't run Google TV. Come on.
So back to Beyond Media.
Wait, left or right? We're going left.
Yeah.
101 West.
And Beyond Media also has a web GUI, so you could set up the box in a server room, and you could use the web GUI to control everything as the admin. What's also nice is you can turn on an iTunes sync with Beyond Media. So, okay, back from road directions.
At least we know where we're going, or we think we do.
We won't get lost now, hopefully.
Well, I know the ocean's to the right.
Somewhere.
Monterey's ahead of us somewhere, so we should be okay.
And what I was going to say, I find myself when one of my favorite websites is Lifehacker. I look at it every day at least once or twice.
I think we can tell by your retweets that that's the case.
And they have good stuff.
No, they do. They definitely do.
Usually when I would always see Mac, because they put a little, if it's for Mac or Windows only, they'll tell you right off the front of the post. So that way, if you don't have a Mac or if you don't have a Windows machine, you can just skip it.
Right.
So I always would skip the Mac stuff. But now I'm finding myself reading all that stuff, and because I'm going to be a Mac user.
Oh,
so,
you've been converted to the dark side.
There's Mac can do some really cool things. There's not 100% crossover between a Mac and a PC, though.
No, some things are definitely different, and I still miss some stuff. Hey, speaking of, we should talk about this. So what, your primary desktop at school now, we did a kind of a conversion on you.
Okay, so I'm running a full Ubuntu 10.04
64-bit. That's right.
Operating system on my dual screens. And
on a box built by my class, I will add.
By a box built by Andrew's class. A nice quad-core processor. And I'm loving it. There are a few things that I still miss from PC or Mac. I guess nothing is completely crossoverable, I guess. So you got to get used to it. So I'm running a Linux desktop at school. I have a Linux netbook. I have a MacBook Pro. And I have a PC at home. So I'm working in all three worlds. Sometimes it gets a little confusing. I have now set up my Linux desktop, though, to look very similar to a Mac. I haven't done the full-on Mac Ubuntu
conversion.
I'm thinking about it just because it's pretty clean.
I think because I run all three operating systems myself, and I think it... Well, it forces you to kind of think out. I mean, you have to. It's not your muscle memory doesn't work anymore, right? I'm constantly having a battle between control and command when I switch back and forth between PC and
what's
Mac.
What's funny, you mentioned that. I got used to using the MacBook and you doing Command C for copy and paste, mm-hmm. and Control and Command V, and I found myself the other day hitting Alt C instead of Command C on a PC. And so, yes, I understand.
So I think we're making our brains work a little harder. So who knows? Maybe that will help our cognitive abilities. But
John Crippo, our good buddy, who, again, QMac World and a lot of good stuff happening with him, he made a comment a while back. I think it might have been at Rockstar. It might have been one day when we were visiting him. He finds that the students that go back and forth between Macs and PCs are actually better computer users.
Right.
Because they are learning two systems and they're actually gaining knowledge.
Well,
and
it's being able to go find what you need to do, right?
Yes.
Especially, I mean, you've just kind of recently cut over to the Mac. I did it like on and off. But hardcore the last 6 months, I'd say. But
and I used to be a Mac user, but I was more of an Apple user, Apple IIe in high school.
Oh, yeah. Didn't we all start there?
And so...
You just dated us.
I completely forgot how to use that stuff.
So. But, I mean, honestly, Mac has changed so much since then that it's a completely different operating system. What I find it very telling is that Windows 7 now looks a lot like the Mac and vice versa. So,
well, look at Ubuntu, and it's starting to...
It's starting to morph. I mean, the file navigation in Ubuntu is a little bit different still. It's more the Windows model, or the old Windows XP model.
But what's funny is Ubuntu and Mac are both Unix-based, right? Am I correct
in
saying that?
Yeah,
so there are some things that... Like, as I'm reading how-tos, I feel like I'm reading a Linux how-to.
Right. It translates over. Well, especially since Mac made the switch to Darwin and the whole OS X migration, which is now, if you open a command line on a Mac, some stuff is in different places, but you can do a lot of the same stuff you can in Linux or Unix. And I think that, and it's not just... The difference between operating systems of, like, within Linux, your desktop is 10.04, but your netbook is Ubermix, and that's
Ubermix,
supporting.
It's also my netbook. I haven't upgraded to.
So it's 9.04.
9.04. So that's
a totally different interface on the user interface perspective.
Yes.
Than just running the straight desktop. So, and I think, but I don't know if you found this, but this is what I found. Going between all these operating systems, as soon as I get to the browser, I'm comfortable.
Well,
I'm completely at home.
You did your geek out moment, and so here's my Google moment. I spend 90% of my time now, if I'm not searching the web, if I'm working on anything, what am I in? I am in Google Docs, Gmail, Google Calendar. I'm in a Google service, or so I don't just sound like the total GCT, right?
But you are a Google fanboy, so that's okay.
So, the other thing is, all my other stuff that I do, I try to use web-based services now.
Right.
And who cares what browser I'm in? The only thing Who cares what operating system I'm in? The browsers tend to be my operating system. And, okay, this leads us to
Chrome OS.
And what is it? Where do my students spend most of their time? In the browser?
Or on their phone and apps. But, yeah, it's the same kind of metaphor.
So... I think Google might be onto something with Chrome OS.
I think they are. I really want to see how it gets implemented. I think that, you know, we just bought 80 netbooks for English and math. Obviously, we're going to run the Ubermix, which is a specialized Linux implementation for schools. Which,
if you've listened to our podcast, you know what it's all about.
You know all about. If not, just do a Google search for Swatech or look at our show notes. But I think Chrome OS, because we are a Google Apps school... It may be the place we need to go.
Okay, and see, now here's my envision. I envision this for our school. And I don't know what you feel about this, but...
No.
LTSP, to me, is great.
That's
LTSP cluster is great in theory. It's not working out for us as well.
We have performance issues.
We have major performance issues. But if we could get Ubermix working on all of our desktops...
Yes.
I think that's awesome. Now, do we stay with Ubermix for our netbooks, or do we go with Chrome OS?
Well, let me address both of those. So I agree, LTSP cluster, I'm not seeing the performance that I expected. If we can solve the HP imaging issue, we will definitely be going to Ubermix on the desktop.
We're
going to
see Revolution Linux boys today. So
I got to ask them some questions. But
yeah.
We're definitely moving one computer lab right now to Ubermix as soon as I have time, because their desktops will run it no problem.
Mine would be, our lab would be Ubermix completely if it wasn't for the fact that we have some crappy older computers that we got given to us that won't boot it.
They won't boot it, so we got to look at why that is. But exit 404, so two more. So I see LTSP, even if it works, even if I could work out all the kinks, I don't know that we need to do it. Because if we can get Ubermix running, the only thing I really wanted to do was get rid of hard drives and not have to worry about hardware failures on our boxes, which LTSP lets us do that. But
doesn't Chrome... Oh, no.
It still needs flash. It needs to boot somewhere.
Now, if you could do...
But here's the thing. Here's the other thing. If we move all our desktops to Ubermix, do we want to expose the students to two different operating systems by moving our netbooks to Chrome OS, assuming they would be able to run it?
Yeah.
Or do we want to standardize on a platform, which IT loves to do, standardize on the UberMix platform across desktops and netbooks, and then just, you know, and go that route? And what I really want to see what's going to happen is with the Chrome OS tablets. Because...
Well, if Chrome OS tablets come out.
Yeah, if Chrome OS tablets come out, I want to... Then that might be reason enough to switch
because
our
right
mobile
now,
devices to Chrome OS.
Right now it looks like...
I think they're going to be Android.
Android tablets.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But here's... Let's think about this. What does it take to write a Pixie code?
Fog.
Into software.
You can't Pixie a wireless device.
You can't Pixie a wireless device.
Nope.
Okay.
It's not in the protocol.
That answers my... But if it was a desktop, but why would you run Chrome OS on a desktop?
I would want to run Chrome OS on a desktop to standardize my platform.
So if Chrome OS could Pixie boot...
You don't even need it to Pixie boot. Just install it on a desktop. If it'll run on a desktop...
Well, no, but I'm saying to get away from hard drives.
Yeah, but you're still going to... well, true. I mean, if you could run Chrome OS in memory, here's 402B.
Because it's completely lightweight.
Right.
Because it's just an OS. It's just a browser.
It's basically a browser.
And so it's completely lightweight. You don't need any other...
I mean, technically, we could do an IDE to USB and run them off USB. I mean, there's things we could do, but all that costs money.
But I'm trying to think simple as possible. So
yes, if I could Pixie boot a Chrome OS image...
I need to talk to my Google...
Well, I'm sure somebody could do it. I mean, because basically when we're Pixie booting, all we're doing is we're Pixie booting a Linux image.
So
there's no reason why we couldn't Pixie boot a Chrome OS image.
It just sends it out to stores it in
But I think Chrome OS is being built specifically for certain hardware, so I don't know how it's going to work on... like
random
across
stuff, yes.
Yeah, because we have all kinds of different desktops.
Which would be interesting.
Right. I mean, that's nice about running Linux. It for the most part, identifies most of those. Although... our GX260s have the Intel video issue, so that's always a...
So, well, okay, there was a kind of a for those of you who don't know, Pixie boot allows you to go out to the network, grab an operating system file.
Yeah, you can boot an operating system off the network without having to run it on a local hard drive. So that's what LTSP uses. It's what LTSP cluster uses.
And... we are basically
here. We're here. We're in Monterey, so we need to find the directions.
And this is another short episode, but that's cool. Lots of background noise.
Was it short?
33 minutes. So, okay.
Well, we'll see if we can get a podcast going before.
And we'll see if we can get a second
sessions.
One. But this is episode 17, The Road to SETPA.
There you go. All done.
All finished up.
Roll the music.
Okay, so.
What do we got with post?
We want to start over?
Yeah, why not?
Or actually, let's just continue. We'll throw it on the end of the other one. You want to do that?
Yeah, we'll do that. So part two?
Okay, so
it up.
This is episode 17B.
Part two.
Part two.
We've had some technical difficulties.
Okay, so we found out that a MacBook and a Rode bumpy...
And a bumpy Rode.
With a...
Don't go together.
Standard hard drive is not a good thing.
We've lost. We lost.
We had 40 minutes of audio.
Man, we lost it.
And we lost all of it.
And it was awesome audio. That was the best podcast ever.
Yeah, you guys missed out.
Yep.
And
actually, really insightful stuff to say.
The middle of the first one, we lost about 10 minutes of...
10 to 15 minutes.
10 minutes of podcasting. So that wasn't bad.
But that's okay. I think we were just talking about how great John Carippo is. And,
yeah, you know, something like that.
Rockstar.
John.
That wasn't important.
Something about John.
Yeah.
So
where should we...
Anyhow...
We're not going to repeat what we just
said. No, we're not going to repeat. But let's talk about what lessons we learned here. So we're going to look and get an SSD drive for... Just in case we ever need to do this again.
Yes, definitely.
So a solid-state drive. No moving parts. No loss of... No
should
bumping.
Be, yeah, that should be okay with the bumps. And I think maybe what happened is because it pauses, but then it still looks like it's recording.
GarageBand looks like it's still going, and it said we had 40 minutes recorded. Stopped the recording.
Yep.
For a break, and it showed we had a minute. But even though we had a lot of good content, we also had some very bad sound quality because I am using a little 12-volt
AC
to AC adapter.
To and it plug caused in, some serious
to plug in the MacBook so we'd have battery, and we had some major nasty fuzz.
So lesson, charge when you're not recording and use an SSD drive.
If you're driving and we're trying to record in the car.
Yes. And yes. And have a co-pilot to navigate the MacBook because I don't know that I could drive
Can you imagine trying to do this and drive at the same time?
No.
You'd have to turn it all on, put it in the seat, and just let it play.
Yeah.
And what fun is that?
Nah, that wouldn't be any fun. So maybe we can just recap the last 40 minutes. We basically said we had a really good time at SEPA presenting. And we had two sessions, and I think our sessions went pretty well.
Huge session. First session, that was Google to Exchange, and we were talking about...
We had a packed house.
Packed house, and that shows that there's something that's needed.
Yeah, so I think there's interest out there in the education IT community. And we had some really good discussion about, you know, having a different conversation for IT folks versus all the conversations that we've had for teachers and admin.
If you can't tell, we're both jaded right now. We're a little downtrodden.
I'm tired, and this MacBook has let me down.
And we actually had some really good info on Google to Exchange. We had some really good stuff. So, anyhow, maybe we shouldn't have this in. We're a little bit depressing.
That's okay.
So anyhow,
I could auto-tune it. Maybe we'll sound chippy. Or I could run it as chipmunk speed.
Yeah, there you go. So right now, and maybe we just, this is the episode that never will play.
You don't want me to put it on?
No, I'm just messing
around.
I'll
put it
on.
I'll put everything on. I'm the guy who goes through and puts all the outtakes at the end on.
And then this is basically podcasting to not stay awake.
This is
or
one,
not to stay not to fall asleep.
Yeah, this is podcasting so I don't drive us on the off the side of the road.
And this is a very large mountain. Yes.
Well, we're passing the reservoir. We just can't see it because it's dark.
Yeah. Well, there's not much reservoir left because.
Oh, that's right. It hasn't rained. It's
hasn't
the end
rained.
Of the summer.
It's, October, we haven't had any rain all summer. And
well, we just had 2 days or 1.5
days. So there's nothing in the reservoir. Well, there is, but it's
see.
A long ways down there.
Wow, we're so off topic, it's ridiculous.
So
we got to talk tech.
Go back. I want to talk about somebody that's been on our podcast before. Completely,
well, so it's Matt Carippo.
Completely new topic.
All right.
Maybe we'll sound happier that way because Melinda's a great person.
Yep.
Melinda Miller.
Oh, she was great. She was a great guest.
And
that was really neat.
When we talked to her, she talked to us about her Tiger Tech Camp. They had her first one.
Right.
And they just finished a second one. And so I was talking to her about it, or I just asked her how it went. She said it went great. So we are definitely going to try to have her back on because I am very interested in doing something like that. Maybe not for our district because our district is too small. She comes from a very large district. Well, not very large,
well,
but a larger district.
I wonder if we could maybe draw some interest from some surrounding districts.
It would be fun to do something and to get, you know, two or three presenters from each school to come and show off.
Right.
And then to invite all the teachers in to come and see. I don't know if we can get the buy-in that her district has as far as, I believe...
Support? Or...
Well, I believe this is an in-service day for them. And basically, everybody from the district comes and they get to pick where they want to go.
Really?
I think. I'm not 100%.
So this is basically a district in-service...
It's a district-sponsored in-service.
But it's run like a...
But it's run like a conference.
A conference session.
Which is kind of... I think is cool.
I think we've talked about that before.
We've talked about doing it. I think it's a little bit nicer for staff. They get a little bit of an option of where they want to go.
Yeah, they get to pick.
I don't see this flying for several reasons. If we just open it up as, hey, we're going to do this on a Saturday. Show up if you want to.
Well, Saturday right there eliminates 90% of the people.
Or a day off. Even if it's a day off,
yeah,
I don't foresee this happening.
Although
that well,
graduation day last year was a volunteer day for us, right?
Graduation day last year was volunteer day.
And I hosted a Moodle session, and I had good turnout.
We had
from our teachers.
6 out of 28 teachers.
Which for us is good turnout.
25%, that's not bad. But wouldn't it be nice if it was like 75%?
Yeah, well, that would be the alternate universe that one day we will live in.
So but, we don't want to talk bad about our staff, but it'd be maybe graduation this year is a...
It's a mandatory day.
Mandatory day.
You got all that empty time.
And you have a couple of teachers. Maybe we could actually get some buy-in from the other schools surrounding us, and we could set up a...
I think the issue, and you kind of talked... I think you nailed it right on the head earlier, was that when you talk about us doing in-service at our site, I don't know that it's as effective.
Well, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, as having somebody come in from the outside.
You're never a genius in your own backyard, right, and whatever exactly. That is.
So I think this kind of an opportunity might be nice to bring in some people from outside to do some training. And maybe we could go somewhere else and do some training, and we might get more buy-in that way.
I would agree. But I would have to say that I think this is Chris Bell was we were talking, and he was saying it's 50 miles before you become that expert.
Yeah.
Because I think we're
doing... Your reputation spreads that far, huh?
Well, I would hope that it goes a little bit further, but I think yours does too.
No, I meant the negative reputation. No one knows who I am.
Yes,
don't tell anybody.
Everybody. But look at our county office. I think we're doing some really great things on our campus.
Wait, dude. I'm tired. I'm driving. And now you bring up the county office.
Well, okay. Don't be mean. But I'm just saying...
I'm already jaded because this MacBook lost all that good stuff.
We're not... I don't think we're being utilized for any... To help put the word out.
I mean... Well, really, if you... Okay. Again, this is a California-specific thing that I'm about to say, but... There are certain county offices in this state that you know that they're doing things with technology. And they're actively involved in big technology projects. And it's not a negative thing. You just can't say that about Merced County. We are not a heavily tech county.
But it's also... And this is the way our counties work in California. Our counties all kind of get assigned to a task.
Yeah. What is our county's task?
Our county's task is
P16.
Algebra 1.
It's P16.
P16 and Algebra 1 is preschool to college.
Oh, that's a bummer because there's no tech in there, is there?
And we're focused on Algebra 1 content and Algebra 1 readiness
students. Can I ask a silly question then?
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to get the publisher wrong. It's either Pearson or one of the McPhersons. One of the Micks.
McDougal-Littell.
One of those publishers is doing a iPad Algebra 1 textbook pilot. If we are the Algebra 1 county, why are the pilots not happening in our county? Why are they happening in Fresno and down south? And
maybe because we're not
places?
A big enough county for the... Because I said we designate what we're focusing on.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean the textbook companies are coming and focusing.
Doesn't mean
what
that we
we're
get recognized
on.
For focusing.
Exactly.
On that?
Actually, we've been there's been a few people recognize the work that they're doing, but
yeah.
Other counties like I can't remember the name of the county right now.
Tell me what they do. Maybe I don't know.
They're basically in charge of the Brokers of Excellence.
Oh, isn't that Kern or is it Butte?
I believe it's Butte County.
It's one or the other. Butte actually does quite a bit. I think, don't they host K-12 HSN and some
they
other
stuff? Host K-12 HSN, yes. Yeah. And so...
they also have my credential processing place, so I love Butte County.
But as you can... That's what I'm saying is because they're focusing on certain aspects,
mm-hmm.
The other thing that our county has been focusing on is the California Streaming, they've been in charge of putting up a lot of content on California Streaming.
Really? Is that
yes.
because of MeTV?
And that is because of, I don't know if it's because of MeTV, which is Merced education television. But they are...
they're like the media people?
They have media... They have the media equipment...
To do it.
To take a DVD or a VHS tape...
And convert it.
And convert it into uploadable content for...
Oh, that's interesting. See,
network.
I didn't even know our county did that. So I am an employee in our county.
And that's something that I believe is one of our biggest things on our county. So we're... County offices are tasked with certain things. I don't know who gives out those tasks. I don't know if
whoever that is
volunteer, but
if they're there, I would like to volunteer in Merced County for the iPad 1-to-1 deployment plan.
I'll talk to John about that one. John Crippo, another John.
Mr. Magnuson.
And so I think that's probably why you see some counties doing some major tech integration and other counties not. Would be because that's what they're focusing
on. Well, I'm guessing it's what they've chosen to focus on, too. I highly doubt the CDE has come in and said, okay, you, County A, are going to do this, and you, County B, are going to do this. You would like to think that in our hierarchical system that it would work like that, but I doubt that.
Well, and I think it's a regional setup also. And I don't know the bureaucracy around this, but I believe... The counties are set up in regions. I can't remember.
Are they based on the CTAP regions?
I'm not sure if they're based on the CTAP regions or not.
Or maybe the CTAP regions are based on the county regions.
Possibly. But those regions...
Only in California could you have a CTAP region and a county region and not have them be the same.
Well, it's possible.
California Technology Assistance Program?
Yes. Yeah. Each county in the region helps... the other counties do something else. So that way not everybody has to be an expert in one in everything.
Okay, again, I would like to volunteer Merced County to be the iPad expert county.
And so I don't know how that's working. I don't know how that works out. Maybe we need to have John Magnuson on.
That might be good to explain how the counties
work.
I mean, that's kind of a California-specific
It's California-specific,
topic,
but
I'd be interested in it, and this is half my podcast, so that sounds like a good thing to think about.
I would be... Well, what'd be great is we could do a California episode and
I wonder if we could get Hugh Hauser on.
There you go. I was going to try to do his voice, but I won't even...
Yeah.
Won't even go
it's
there.
It's late, and that might be ugly.
We started talking about Melinda, and we got to our county office of education.
We tend to do that,
but
we ramble.
I would like to.
Bumps! Watch the hard drive.
I've already talked to Melinda, and she, I think she has spoken interest in coming back on.
Oh, I'd love
podcast.
To have her back on. That would be great, and maybe we can get. Got it, Elias on too. Are we back again?
We're back again. Okay. I think
another big jump. You know what? I'm wondering if it's a GarageBand issue.
Well, we might have to play that out. But okay, so yes, we'll definitely have to have Scott and Melinda. They're both they both do podcasting principles. Correct? Is the name of their
say practical principles or principle?
Podcasting principle was Melinda.
Yeah.
And they do practical principles together. That's correct.
Yep.
We'll link to them on our show notes. But they would be great to be on again, or Melinda would be, and then get Scott on with her this time. But we are headed to a stop, and so we're going to, I think, call this good.
We're going to pause, or we're going to be done?
I think we might be done. If not, we can cut it out. And
not going to keep me awake for the next 25, what do we got, 30 minutes left?
No way.
From Los Banos to Merced? What is that?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay. Okay, so we might be coming back. We might be coming back. So if we don't come back, this is another episode finished up. Actually, it's a part B finished up.
That's right. So now really roll the music.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
It's a long road home.
Welcome to a second episode of Small School Big Tech. This is the road home from SEPA.
Second episode. This is episode 18, my friend.
Well, yes, but
second today.
Second today.
Two in one day. That's got to be a record.
Yeah. Kind of crazy. This is the Don't Fall Asleep on the Way Home podcast.
Yes.
Yes. So
far it's working.
And we've been on the road for 2 minutes.
That's right.
Okay, so we finished both of our our sessions at SEPA, and we did exchange to Google apps in 75 minutes.
I thought you were going to say Google to exchange.
Well, yes, I've practiced enough now, so I'm okay.
Okay.
And then we did small school big tech version 2.0.
Yes.
I would have to say both went rather well.
I think so. I think it was good. You know, this is what, our second year at SEPA, so, and we, you know, getting out here was a challenge, but I'm glad we came. We had a really good showing for the Exchange to Google Apps presentation.
Exchange to Google Apps. All right, test 1, 2, test 1, 2.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay. We have no show notes.
Podcast
nothing.
On the road. What? We're just talking.
Oh, are we just talking? Okay.
I gotta drive, man.
Okay. Well, I just let this play then.
Might as well.
And I gotta watch the battery.
Oh, you gotta do it. You gotta do the intro. Welcome to another episode of Small School Big Tech. No, I'm just kidding. You do it. No.
1, 2.
Testing.
Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2. I think we're both. I had my hand on my mic.
When Hola.
1, 2. Test 1, 2.
Testing. Testing. Welcome to.
Do you think these mics are good enough where we were getting echo because it could hear each other?
Each other, possibly.
Okay, there's a rule, a 3-to-1 rule.
Yeah.
So for every new mic,
you gotta be 3 feet away or what?
Yeah, something like that.
So we're not. I got mine turned towards me. I wonder.
Well. Mine would pick up you then, because mine's picking up.
These mics are crappy.
So I don't know.
Can't be that crappy. That's fine.